joining us now to talk more about that as we broadcast from the 1215 AM 105 and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. He is the one and only Bucks beat writer with The Athletic, Eric Name. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Eric, thanks for coming on, man. Good afternoon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Damian Lillard, we were talking about him earlier. He has been on some type of roll here this month, only one game under 20 points this month, shooting almost 50% from three. I think he's like 46, 47% from three in the month of January. And he credits a lot of this to Vin Baker, as you wrote about in The Athletic. Talk about that conversation, because I'm flummoxed by this whole thing, because Giannis has been saying nonstop be you. Doc Rivers has been saying nonstop be you. I feel like everybody has told him to be him, but it was Vin Baker that apparently convinced him to do just that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the human brain is a tough one, isn't it? You got to try to figure out exactly, you know, what you're going to need to hear from which person that, you know, a message is going to connect with you. But yeah, no, it certainly seems that way. The other night I knew, you know, right when Dame came back from the injury, illness, plague, whatever you guys want to call it, that all these guys went through, you know, I'd asked him a question about, you know, he was shooting like 30% from the field. And he was like, you know, I'm just going to keep doing my routine. I'm just going to keep taking the shots that I take. You know, I don't feel 100% right. And we saw Giannis struggle with it as well. Like, Giannis was shooting 55% at the rim. So it's affected guys differently. But I had obviously noted that after those four games, Dame had gotten on quite a hot streak. So I tried to ask him in the exact same way. And he kind of said, oh, yeah, I remember you asking me about that when it wasn't going so good. And it's like, well, yeah. When it's going good, I'm going to ask the same questions as when it's going bad. And to me, it was just kind of revealing that sometimes you just need to keep hearing it from as many people as possible, that, you know, there's a certain message that you want to get across. And I can't tell you why Vin Baker would be the one that could get through to Damian Lillard, because, as you said, everyone's been saying it, right? I mean, I think back to last season, right out of the All-Star break, Giannis had kind of told me, like, I've told him, like, this is your team. You gotta take over. You gotta kind of do all the things that you need to do. And it's not like something, you know, I'm begging you or asking you to do. Like, it's just what you need to do. That's how we're going to be successful. So yeah, it's strange that it maybe took that message from Vin Baker, that call from Vin Baker to kind of get Dame to do it, but it's certainly paid off. And I think where it gets more interesting is, you know, right now Chris Middleton's playing about 25 minutes a night. They brought him into the starting lineup. They tried that for a little bit. Obviously, he wasn't progressing from an injury perspective in the way that they wanted him to, but in those moments when he was out there, the rhythm didn't look as good for Dame and for Giannis and for Chris. And they didn't look, all three of those guys didn't look the way that they should individually when they tried to share the floor together. And to me, if we're talking about, you know, kind of where the Bucks are at the halfway point and what you need to do, and I wrote it today at The Athletic, is like, there is probably about 12 more minutes that Chris Middleton needs to fill on a nightly basis, right? He's averaging about 23 minutes a night. You probably want him up around 35. Those 12 minutes are going to require him to be on the floor more with Dame. It's going to require him to be on the floor more with Giannis. All three of those guys have to look like their aggressive selves, their best versions. And to me, that is, I'm not going to say all the final 41 games are about, but it's a whole lot of it, right? Like, if this team is actually going to contend for a title, as these guys have been saying since they've been put together, you need the best out of all three of those guys. And that, to me, is the challenge that lays ahead for Doc Rivers as we sit here at the midway point of this NBA season.
You want him to average how many minutes a night?
35.
No chance. I don't see. I mean, he hasn't averaged 30 minutes a night since 2021, when he averaged 32 a night. I mean, realistically, coming off of these ankle surgeries, I'm happy with 25 at this point, 25 to 30, somewhere in that area. Like, that just seems an awful lot for a guy that can't stay healthy, Eric.
How many last year in the playoffs? You want to guess? You got it?
No, I don't have it in front of me. I just have the year-by-year stuff in front of me. How much?
38 a game.
Yeah, but Lillard and Giannis were both hurt, though, too, for some of that.
No, I understand. But this team was built around the big three. If this team is going to be successful, you need to get close to having a big three again, right? Like that, yeah. that's the whole point of this. So while I can understand where you're coming from, maybe it's not 35, maybe it's 33. But whatever it is, I need about 10 more minutes a game from Chris Middleton. If this is truly going to work and you're truly going to have a team that can contend and beat the best teams in the Eastern Conference. And if you look at the NBA standings right now, those aren't the best teams in the Eastern Conference. Those might just be the best teams in the league. The Cavaliers have been unbelievable this year. The Bucks have yet to beat them, have yet to beat the Celtics. They're struggling against the Knicks. Like, if you're going to get there, I think you need more out of Chris Middleton. So, yes, you do have to be careful. You do have to make sure that you bring him along in a way that can be successful. But, you know, as Giannis said after last night's game, like, we got to get him back in the starting lineup. Like, that's where we eventually need to get to. And I think everyone has confidence that they will get there. But to me, that is what you're looking at in the final 41 games is, like, how far can you push Chris Middleton, keep him on the floor, and get him closer and closer to that guy that I think you need. Obviously, Giannis and Dame are going to do their things, but we've seen again and again and again and again in the playoffs that you got to have multiple scoring options, and Chris Middleton will be a big one for them in the postseason if they can get everything right and get themselves in that position.
Talking with Eric Name, the Athletic Milwaukee Bucks beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. When we talk about this Bucks team and Chris Middleton, do you think by the time we get to the playoffs, he's back in the starting lineup?
I do, yes.
See, I understand what I'm asking is really stupid, but I really like him coming off of the bench. And we talked about this earlier on the show as far as his ability, his two-man game with Brooke, his two-man game with Giannis, and I'm assuming by the time we get to that point with Lillard, he's just such a smart and cerebral basketball player that understands where everybody's supposed to be, lining everybody up. I saw Giannis kind of making fun of him and calling him a turtle the other day, which is fine. But he just knows how to play the basketball game the right way. And I feel like it's an extension of the coaching staff. When Bud was here, I felt that way. I kind of feel the same way with Doc as well. And to be coming off the bench, that doesn't mean he doesn't close the game necessarily. But you saw it work with Ginobili and the Spurs for quite some time. Why do you think they end up putting him back in the lineup?
I just think from a minute standpoint, I need 10 more minutes. And if I'm trying to find 10 more minutes, there's only so many bench minutes out there. And maybe, you know, you're right. Like, you can get to a spot where, Giannis gets his 4 minutes at the start of the fourth quarter. Dame gets a couple of minutes in there and you use, you know, 3 or 4 more minutes of Chris to get through that. And maybe there is a way. I just think Doc had said this initially when they moved Torian Prince out of the starting lineup and put Chris in it. It was like, to make this work, there's only so many minutes in a game, and I can't have Chris not in for the first 6 minutes. Like, to get him up higher, to get those more minutes, like, he's just got to be in there earlier in the first quarter to make all this work. So, to your point, maybe there's a creative way to do it, right? Maybe he enters 3 minutes into the first quarter. Maybe it's a shorter stint on the bench to start the game or something like that, or a longer stint in the fourth quarter. But also, I think as you're managing Chris Middleton and his minutes, I don't know if you want to run him out there for 12 straight minutes like you would a guy like Giannis or a guy like Damian Lillard. So I just think it's very difficult for me to imagine how, again, I'm trying to get him up in that 33 range, which is 10 more than he's averaging right now, and not using the start of the game as part of that. But to me, that's where all this is interesting, right? Because when they have had Chris off the floor, Dame is pushing the tempo, which I wrote about last week at The Athletic. He's getting into his stuff. He's finding his rhythm early. That's a thing that Chris used to do, right? He would find his rhythm early while Giannis would, you know, take his time getting into the game. You'd see those big first quarters from Chris. Giannis would get his in the second through third quarter, and then Chris would come back through in the fourth quarter. That is kind of a role that Dame has usurped in some way, right? Like, now that is Dame's kind of position. Come into the game early, get hot in the first quarter, let Giannis do the thing in the middle of the game, and then in the fourth quarter, take over again because it's your time. So I just think if you're trying to be the best basketball team possible, you got to have your best players on the floor for as long as possible. And that means, I think, Chris Middleton eventually getting back in the starting lineup. Maybe you can get creative and still bring him off the bench, but I think you got to find a way to get him on the floor more, and put him in the starting lineup is an easy way to do it.
Talking with Eric Name, the Athletic Milwaukee Bucks beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. I got one last thing for you. NBA trade deadline about a couple of weeks away, February 6th. That's a Thursday, so 2 weeks from this Thursday. All this nonsense talk about Jimmy Butler, a player I do not want on this team. The Lillard thing happened. Nobody saw that one coming. I can't see how this Jimmy Butler thing ends up happening. What do you see for the Bucks coming up here in a couple of weeks with the trade deadline approaching?
I mean, I think there's a couple things to keep in mind. You know, anytime, I think any big name gets out there, their names mentioned and things like that, John Horst pokes around, right? Like, you know, just think through all of the former players that now have podcasts, I guess, or appear on podcasts that are like, oh yeah, you know, I was thinking about maybe going to the Bucks one time. And I think a lot of that is just like John Horst has kind of always prioritized, like, we're going to be in the conversations for these types of players. I don't know if we'll get it done in the end, but we are going to be around the conversations and see what happens. And with Damian Lillard, they were able to make something happen when, you know, the talks with the Heat didn't go where the Blazers wanted it. And, you know, eventually you got to that spot. I'd be genuinely curious. I don't think there's a ton of teams dying to give up a lot of the assets for Jimmy Butler right now. So, you know, you have the idea that it can happen. The Bucks do have the, you know, the contracts and I guess the players that could make it happen. But I don't know if, you know, something that doesn't include the Bucks 2031 first round pick gets it done. And I don't think the Bucks really want to give that up. So, I mean, if you get to a spot where maybe it's just players and contracts, maybe they can get into it. But I just think, like, you got to keep that in mind with John Horst, is that he's incredibly thorough. He wants to be a part of every conversation. He wants to know everything that's going on around the league. How he will do that.
How does the second apron affect all of this? Is there going to have to be a third team, do you think, in order to make it work, if it were to work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what my second point was going to be, is, like, you got to keep in mind that John Horst is incredibly thorough. And then I think the other part of this is, when you start to think about the second apron, one of the things that maybe we don't talk about enough is that if the Bucks are a second apron team again this season, their 2032 first round pick gets frozen. And while that might not initially seem all that bad, to get that pick unfrozen, the Bucks would then need to be outside of the second apron for 3 or 4 seasons. So that means the earliest that they could get it unfrozen is end of the 27-28 season, so April 2028. And again, maybe the Bucks aren't going to be in a position to trade first-round picks. Maybe they don't even want to do it. Maybe they want to make sure they keep all their picks. So it might not matter that a pick is frozen for 3 straight seasons. But I do think when you kind of hear the conversations that they're having, you hear guys like Pat Connaughton being a part of trades, you hear about, oh, well, maybe they can make a trade for a bigger player by aggregating their contracts and then cutting $6.5 million off to get underneath the second apron. Like, the reason why all this fits in is, one, the Bucks are always going to try to get better, and John Horst is always going to keep that in mind. But also, I do think this is one of the first times that the Bucks have to be more forward thinking, more future thinking, where, you know, in the past it was give up all the first round picks and let's do that. And I think this year they're going to be a lot more reticent to give up their 2031 first round pick. I think they are going to be thinking about trying to find a way to make sure that 2032 pick doesn't get frozen for 3 seasons. Like, I think all those things have to be a part of the conversation. In a way that it wasn't in the past, because in the past it was just spending money, right? Like, whatever, we're okay being a luxury tax team, we're going to spend the money, and that's that. Now this is a situation where it isn't just that you're spending more money. And obviously Wes Edens and Jimmy Haslam have deep pockets, and they've been able to foot the bill now for the last 5 seasons. But, like, this is now hurting your ability to have flexibility and build a team for the future. That, to me, I think is kind of where it I don't want to say it crosses the line, but that's where it becomes more of a part of the conversation. So I think that means, you know, you could have lots of excitement, but you could also have a trade deadline that doesn't really go anywhere, kind of like last year, where I think the Bucks were aggressive, and then in the end, they just ended up swapping backup point guards. And that was all that happened, because the problems that the Bucks are facing are problems that the entire league is facing. This is a league that wanted to be based on transactions and then signed a collective bargaining agreement that made it incredibly difficult to make transactions. And you're seeing that with Jimmy Butler. You're seeing that with Bradley Beal. You're seeing this with teams all around the league. So I'm curious to see if it ends up being just a lame trade deadline around the league, because I do think one of the things when you talk to people around the league is, like, it's really hard to get a deal done. You got to know all these rules inside out. You got to know which teams might be able to take on money. And spoiler alert, there's not a whole lot of teams that can take on money out there. So it is a really tough year to try to get a deal done. And I think the at least slow roll of this market on Jimmy Butler, on Bradley Beal, on a lot of these guys is partly due to that fact that a lot of teams have their money tied up, and there's not a lot of teams that can take on any of that money.
He is Eric Name, the Athletic Bucks beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. Great, great stuff. If you don't subscribe to The Athletic, you probably should, because it's a lot of great reading material from all different sports area. But Eric Name, I know, is one guy that a majority of Milwaukee people subscribe to, and that's the reason they have The Athletic subscription. I hope you get a big bonus check, Eric. Thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, buddy.